in John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Again, our memory verse is, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Let's have a word of prayer as we start here. Father, I pray you might help us to understand these verses. But Lord, maybe we do understand them. We just don't put them into practice like we should. And Lord, we know that you'll be faithful to the promise that you've given us. Lord, now help us in our praying to meet the condition. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, that's a wonderful promise. But what I've just prayed is, it's a great promise. And we don't have a problem with the promise that Jesus said, I'll do it. Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. Amen. I love that promise. It's the condition that we're looking at. So really, when I come to these verses today, I'm not going to worry about the promise. Jesus is faithful. He'll take care of that. If we pray in his name, he'll do it. But I want to make sure we understand the condition that when we pray, this is not a carte blanche prayer that whatever you pray, you'll get it. Okay? That's not what this says. The condition is, again, if you ask anything in my name. And I think what we're concentrating on is the phrase there, in my name. Again, we have made praying in Jesus' name like a certain formula that we tack on to the end of our prayers. Is everybody with me? We know how prayers are supposed to end. How are they supposed to end? In Jesus' name, amen. Okay? If there was anything wrong with Bill Gill's song, he and I know when you sing, you're always supposed to sing amen. Am I right about that? But I'm an amen guy, okay? So, in Jesus' name, amen! And we got to do that, okay? And in fact, I kind of put this on here. We are so used to hearing in Jesus' name, amen, that we're uncomfortable if we don't hear it. What if somebody prays a prayer, and then when they're done, they just say, thanks, Lord, or amen. And you go, whoa, get back up there. You didn't say in Jesus' name. Isn't that how we'd almost feel? Okay, where did that come from? Okay, that we have to put in Jesus' name. Amen. I tried to do this, and the best I could, I tried to go through every prayer in the New Testament. Okay, I don't think I found a one that ended in Jesus' name, amen. Not a one of them ended in Jesus' name, amen. So I tell people, so where'd we get that from? Okay, now I'm not telling you to stop it, but I am going to talk about what it means and what we're supposed to do. Okay? I put up here, and I just kind of did it. The prayer is a bit illegal if it doesn't end the way we think it should. You can't pray that way. Okay? You can't pray a prayer and not say in Jesus' name, amen. That's just illegal. Okay? And against the rules. That's a word I made up. We're not going to arrest you or anything like that. But does everybody understand kind of what I'm saying? I hope you're with me. That just tacking this on the end, it's not really what it's all about. Okay? It's got to be a little bit more than that. I kind of put something down here, okay, what it doesn't mean. Okay? What it doesn't mean. Okay? It's more than simply adding a phrase at the end of your prayers. Okay? It's not, okay, just go ahead and pray what you want, and then when you're done, tack this on the end. Okay? For some of us, this is what it does mean. It means it's about time to eat. I mean, he's been praying a long time, and I'm really hungry, but we know that as soon as we hear, in Jesus' name, we can start moving. Am I right about that? That's kind of where we are, okay? Now, I don't know if you've ever gone to a meal or whatever, and somebody said, well, I'll pray, and then they start praying. And you ever think in the middle of it, you know, my food's going to get cold, okay? But then all of a sudden you hear what? In Jesus' name, and you know, we're at the end. Oh, good. Okay, and that's kind of what it is in our minds. It's just, in Jesus' name, amen. Or, as I put down here, it's just like a spiritual open sesame or abracadabra. Because I put this on the end of my prayer and made all the rest of it good, and I'm going to get what I prayed for. It doesn't mean that at all, okay? I wrote down a little prayer here. How do you like this one? Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you give me $10 million in small, unmarked bills in 3 medium-sized suitcases, and I'd like it to be delivered to my front door tomorrow morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, is everybody following through? You know, you say, well, that's a little bit ridiculous. But, you know, sometimes you overemphasize the ridiculous to really understand that maybe we still do that for other prayers, maybe not to that length or whatever. So it's just not something that you can tack on at the end of prayer. And when you do that, it made everything in the prayer sound good, and you're going to get it. Now, again, one of the worst things that could happen right now is tomorrow morning for me to find three medium suitcases in front of my door with $10 million worth of bills in there, and you're going to say, well, Pastor, you were all wrong in that sermon. Look what just happened. Now, if you happen to have $10 million and you'd like to make that sermon completely null and void, I'll take the $10 million. But you understand what I'm saying. It's just not tacking on makes it all good. Okay? I think you all know that. We laugh about it. Again, the importance of names in the Bible. Again, Jesus is saying, if you ask anything in my name. And names in the Bible are important, okay? They're very important. Again, one of the things I give here is they represent character, okay, or personality, origin, or destiny of different people is what I would say there. Again, one I would give you, Jacob. Whenever you think of the word Jacob, it means cheater, okay, or supplanter. That's what Jacob is, okay? Now, the man of the Bible, Jacob, outlived that name and made it a more honorable name. But again, when he was named, it meant cheater. Nabal definitely means fool, okay, in the Bible. But then you have other names like Peter, which means what? A rock, okay? A good rock by which he stood there. Now, get to thinking about it. If you ask anything in my name, again, I don't know what's the most formal name you could give to Jesus. I say in my mind it would be the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that sound like a pretty, what we would put together? Sometimes we call him Christ, sometimes we call him Lord, sometimes we call him Jesus. Put it all together. The Lord Jesus Christ, when we're talking here about names that represent character. Again, Lord, definitely the word for master. Master, Adonai, he's our master. Going on then, Jesus means Savior or salvation. It's the same word in the Old Testament for Joshua. He is our Savior. Christ is the anointed one who was sent from God. So he is our master, our Savior, the anointed one who sent from God. And maybe I could put it this way. When you call out to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're declaring that he is your master, your Savior, and the anointed one that's sent from God. It's not a name to trifle with. Okay? You're acclaiming who he is in your life. He's your Lord, your Savior. You know he is God himself. So again, names represent character. Okay? And again, you can see different things there that we have. Again, number two, names represent authority. Names represent authority. I don't know the last time I saw it on TV. But maybe when I was a kid and you watched some Dragnet shows and things like that, and some of you younger people are going, what? Okay? You know, you used to hear a pounding. Okay, now watch. See if I know where I'm going from. Okay? You used to hear a pounding. And then somebody would say, open up in the name of the law. Are you following me through? Isn't that something we don't hear it anymore? But is anybody with me on that phrase? You heard it on TV shows? Open up in the name of the law. If you're on the other side of the door, what are you thinking right now? That's nothing. Hey, it used to be that when policemen knocked on your door and said, open up in the name of the law, it really meant something. It meant that basically the person who's knocking on your door, the full authority of the government of the United States, is behind them. And that's why they're knocking, and you better open up. By the way, that's the same with God, is it not? 1 Samuel chapter 17. I don't know that I can quote the verse exactly perfect. Maybe I can just get it paraphrased. But a young man there said, you come to me with sword and spear, but I come to you in the what? Name of the Lord. Okay? Now, he actually put the name of the Lord. So basically what he was saying, as Goliath was looking down across that battlefield, or as he was looking down on that young man right there, he was kind of looking at, you're just a little guy, and I am going to feed you to the birds. He didn't realize behind that little guy was the full authority and power of God. And Goliath realized it too late. Okay, so when you're using a name, it represents authority that's behind it. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. And then I think David put something like this on the end of it, whom you have defied. You defied that name, but you know what? I'm coming in the full authority of God. And you're going to find out what that means in just a very few moments. Again, names represent a person's reputation, I think. Reputation. And again, I use this one. I'm sorry for the name that I use. Again, it has nothing to do with my, you know, approving of this person in all areas of his life or whatever. But what if I go down to the bank tomorrow and write out basically a withdrawal slip? You know, now sometimes we call that a check or whatever, but I write out a withdrawal slip that I want the banker, I want the teller on the other side to please give me $10 million. Okay? How long would it take of them looking at this, pushing a couple keys on a keyboard, and realizing what? You're not getting your $10 million. Because the fact of the matter is what? I don't have $10 million. And it's very readily known to the person, I don't have $10 million. However, could it be possible, okay, that tomorrow I go down to the bank with a piece of paper, and it literally has my name on it, that the bank is to take out of their vault $10 million and give it to me? Because the man who signed on the line, his name is William Gates. And I go ahead and pass that piece of paper over to them, and they look at it, and it says $10 million to Richard Gilbaugh, and it's signed by William Gates. They push a few buttons on their computer, and they realize what? It's a good check. And now they have to do what? Give me $10 million. See, now, again, I'm not giving full credit to this man or whatever, but they're realizing, and by the way, shake your head yes or no, is he still the richest man in the world, or does somebody replace him? What? He's close, is he not? He's close. I just know that one time I heard the thing about Bill Gates, that if he was walking across the parking lot from his car to his office, if there was a $100 bill on the sidewalk, if he stopped to pick it up, he lost money. Because he makes more money in the amount of time to pick it up than that $100. Okay, so instead of picking up the $100, get to your office, you make more money. Okay, that's a lot of money. Okay. I'd definitely pick it up. What about you? But could you imagine he go, you know, I'd pick that up, but I'd be losing money to do so, so I'm going to get to my office or whatever. But his name. And again, when I mentioned Bill Gates, I don't think any one of you thought of a poor man, did you? He's got a lot of money. And see, when his name is on the bottom of the check, it carries some authority to it because we have a reputation. We understand. Okay, now I'm not giving you carte blanche on his character. I am saying that financially he's worth that. Okay? Again, I put down here, praying in Jesus' name is like signing his name to your prayers. Okay, now stay with me. Don't get messed up yet. You are saying to God, Jesus told me to pray this prayer. Okay? Again, what will the Father do with a prayer truly signed by His Son? I put down here, He will grant it because He honors the Son. Right? But then I also put this question down in my notes. What's forgery? What's forgery? I could go down there with a check made out to me, and Bill Gates didn't sign it, but I did. What's going to happen here? Same with our prayers. We may pray a prayer and then say at the end of it, in Jesus' name, amen. It's the same as doing what? Putting His name on the bottom of a check, and that's not His check. That's not His authority. Watch out that we don't do that. But you can see that when we absolutely pray a prayer in Jesus' name, we have His reputation behind it. And He said, I will do it. Again, I put up here, what's it mean to pray in Jesus' name? What's it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Number one, I think what we're saying is we realize that His name is the only way to heaven, to get to God. Again, when you pray in Jesus' name, you are confessing your faith that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Again, 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man. And who is it? The man, Christ Jesus. Okay. Again, you don't come to God. If you don't come to God through Jesus, you can't come at all. So again, I'm not telling you to take in Jesus' name or the thought in Jesus' name out of your prayers, that we shouldn't be tagging it on the bottom. Okay. But I am telling you that when you are admitting that you're coming in Jesus' name, you're admitting that that's the only name that has any authority to get you there. Again, here's the thought. Why don't we start our prayers in Jesus' name? Dear Lord, I'm coming to you, and in Jesus' name, to the best of my ability, everything you are going to hear in this prayer following this is in Jesus' name. And then you pray. And then when you're done, you just say what? I'm done. Amen. Because you started it out and you say everything I'm going to pray is in Jesus' name. Again, I wrote this down. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and my Savior. I claim no merit of my own. I acknowledge that I cannot stand in your presence apart from the merits of my Redeemer who shed his blood for me. I claim nothing but the blood of Jesus as the ground for my prayer to you. I think you get it. Now, you don't have to be so formal. And usually when you have time to write something out, it's a little bit better than if you're just trying to say it. But I think you kind of have the idea of what we're saying here. You know what? I mean, again, I come back to this. Dear Heavenly Father, this is Rick. I know you want to listen to me. What do you think is going to happen about this time? Not much. Okay? Not much. I don't do it. But I did it this week. I don't do it, but I did it. Okay? I got this phone, and it's even better now because my old phone went bad. And it used to be on my old phone that, you know, somebody would call, and I'd flip it open. And sometimes if I didn't have my glasses on, if I wasn't in the right amount of light, I couldn't see who was calling. So I'd just have to go and answer it. Now I got this other phone, and it's bigger. And I don't even need my glasses to see who's calling anymore, even in the bad light. I can see who's calling. And I am going to tell you this week that somebody called, and I go, I don't want to talk to them. Okay? I called them back later, but it's like, I don't want to talk to them. First time I've done that in a long, long, long time. Is everybody with me on that? I kind of used that illustration after I did it. I thought, you know what? That's sort of like me coming to heaven and my name shows up on it. God's sort of like, I'm not answering that one. I'm not answering that one. Now, don't think that it wasn't bad. It was just at the place and time where I was, what I was doing, talking to that person at that time wasn't just, and if I could tell you the whole illustration, you'd probably look at me and go, Pastor, you were right, okay? I did call the person back and do all that, but this is the first time in a long time that I saw a name on a phone and said, you know what, not now, okay? So I didn't, okay? But that's sort of like God. Oh, it's Rick. But no, if it shows up, it's Jesus Christ calling in. What's he going to do? All right. By the way, can I just say this? It wasn't my wife whose name appeared on the phone. Anybody with me on that one? It wasn't my daughter. It wasn't my son. Is everybody following me through? Because those ones, it really doesn't matter what I'm doing, where I am. Somebody tell me about them. They're getting answered, okay? And that's what I'm talking about, God and coming in Jesus' name. It's the only way to get there. Any other name shows up on God's phone, you know what? It might be, well, who's he think he is? But Jesus' name will get answered. Again, his name is the supreme name. Again, number two, his name is the supreme name. Again, you can look there if you want, Philippians 2:19. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. Give me another name that's going to happen to, okay? There's not another name. I mean, I don't care who they think they are in this world, that if a name is mentioned, every knee is going to bow and every name is going to confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. Not another person's going to do that. Again, what a great name it is. Again, Jesus' name above all names. I put this down here. There is no power to answer your prayers in any other name, okay? There is no power. I hope you understand this, okay? If we could get our answers to our prayers apart from Jesus' name, then why pray? Okay? There's things that I'm powerless to do. Again, the whole point of prayer is to admit our total dependence on God, all right? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Here's an activity to do this week if you want to do something. Okay, why don't you go ahead and pray to God and offer a few requests to God in the name of Buddha this week. See what you get. Maybe on Sunday you'll come to me and say, well, Pastor, I started using Buddha's name and you just can't believe what God's done. OK, Can I tell you what God's going to do when you pray in the name of Buddha? Not getting there, okay? There's no other name under heaven given among men. The name of Jesus, every knee bows. Okay? Again, there's no power. I'll bring this one up. Don't pray in the name of Mary. Don't pray in the name of Mary. It's not going to do you any good. Okay? It's Jesus. Don't pray in your own name. Don't offer any activities in anybody else's name. Don't offer any other prayers. Again, it's in Jesus' name. Again, number four, when you pray in Jesus' name, you are basically submitting your will to His will. Okay? When we pray, okay? When we pray in Jesus' name, you're submitting your will to His will because He knows what is best. I mean, it's almost like praying, Lord Jesus, I want what You want. That's what I want. I want what You want. When we pray that way, we may ask whatever we want, and because we are submissive to God's will, we may be sure that our prayers will be answered every time. You know, Lord, I'm going to pray in Your name because I want what You want. Again, I put down here, contrary. All right, I put this down. Lord Jesus, this is what I want, and I really don't care what You want. Could you imagine praying something like that? And then at the end of it, put in there what? Well, in Jesus' name. Now, you didn't pray in Jesus' name. Lord, this is... again, can I say something? You know, as I prepare this sermon over the last couple of weeks, I didn't get to preach it last week, but the last number of weeks I've been working on a sermon like this or whatever, boy, you know, it starts really making you stop and think. You stop offering mindless prayers. What does Jesus really want in this situation? Here's one of the thoughts that came across. This may scare you. Maybe I've never preached it before. I can't say that I've not, you know, danced around or whatever, but you know what? Did you know that there's sometimes that people are sick and that's what God wants? Does that hurt you to think about that? Now, there are modern theologies out there, mainly on TV, that God wants everybody what? Healthy, wealthy, and wise. Am I right about that? That may not be true. What did Paul say? Thrice I besought the Lord that He would take this away from me. And what did he say? My grace is sufficient. Paul, this is where you're going to stay right now, and you'll find that my grace is sufficient. Stop and think about that. We wouldn't have the book of Job and all the great truths that are taught in the book of Job if God didn't allow Job to be sick, if we can just put it that way, and to be hurting. I kind of got thinking about this. I don't think about death much. From time it crosses my mind, okay? Some of you, it crosses your mind too, but... You know, I see people who are sick and they die from the sickness. They die from it. Okay? And that was God's way of taking him on home. And I just wonder, is that going to be God's way of taking me home? That I'll get some sickness. And I may say, dear Lord, take this sickness from me. And maybe God is going to say, no. This is what I'm going to use to bring you home. Okay. Then it's going to change my prayer. Instead of praying every time, dear Lord, dear Lord, dear Lord, save me, you know, from this, save me from this, heal me from this, heal me. Dear Lord, I understand that this is probably what You're going to use to take me. Now, here's my prayer. As I'm sick, use me mightily. Maybe that needs to be our prayer. Makes us start thinking more about our prayers. And Lord, I need to submit my will. You see what I have up there on the screen? To Your will. And that's the way it's going to be. You know, again, if you're not healthy right now, and the only reason you're not healthy is because of lack of faith, what's that saying? And yet I've heard people teach that on TV. You can have all the faith in the world, and God may leave you sick. What did Paul say in the 1 Timothy book? What did he say? Who did he leave at Miletus sick? Trophimus? Have I left at Miletus sick? Even Paul couldn't heal him. Who he raised people from the dead, I know that. But you know what? I left him, I couldn't heal him. And maybe that was God's way of taking him on home. You know what? Dear God, I know that You know what's best for me, and maybe this is Your way of taking me home. But now, use what I have for Your glory is what we need to do. Again, going on, number five, okay? Why don't we pray in Jesus' name that God's reputation be enhanced? Again, what's it say? If whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You know? Dear Lord, I'd really like for this to happen in my life because it would really make me look good. But our prayer ought to be, dear Lord, you do what's best so that you look good and you're glorified. Now, I do have sometimes opinions of what I think God should do so that he looks good. Is anybody with me on that? Good Lord, if you would do this, it would really make a statement in the community. But you know what? I think God's reputation needs to be enhanced here. Again, what shall we ask in my name? That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The purpose of our prayer should be to bring glory to the Father. To glorify God means to enhance God's reputation in the world. When our requests will glorify God, we may be sure that they will be answered. Does that make sense to us? God, we want your reputation. I go back to the prayer of Elijah on Mount Carmel. He prayed a real short prayer, but he said, dear Lord, why don't you do something here so that these people may know that there is a God in heaven and it's you. And sure enough, what happened right after that? Get away from the altar, folks. Boy, fire came down from heaven. God's reputation was enhanced. The prophets of Baal were killed. And here was Elijah bringing revival into the country. There is what he was done. Again, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't worry, the other things will be added. But let's make sure God's reputation is enhanced. Number six, again, when we pray, we should pray things that I call they're consistent with God's character. Again, the things that we ask should be consistent with God's character. Calling on the name of the Lord means asking him for that which is consistent with all that Jesus Christ is and all that he said and all that he's accomplished in the world. Can you imagine this? Dear Lord, I'm going to lie right now. Please make sure I don't get caught. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now are you following me through? Did your prayer line up consistently with the character and with what we know about Jesus Christ? Not at all. Not even close, okay? You know, and again, we could do other, dear Lord, you know I'm late for church. I got to get there quick. Make sure there's no police between here and the church. Are you following me through on these things like this or whatever? Again, there's different things that we could pray, and are they consistent with the character of God? Okay? And the answer would be, I don't think so. Okay? Again, I put down things like this. You cannot lie and steal in Jesus' name. You cannot ask God to bless your adultery in Jesus' name. You cannot swear in Jesus' name. You cannot ask God to bless your rage in Jesus' name. And you cannot ask God to bless any kind of sin in Jesus' name. So when you are praying a prayer, it's time to do a little bit of thinking is what we need to do. Let me give you an illustration. As weak as it is, that I think will help. But I took a course in college. Again, I was a double minor. I had a Greek minor, and I also took a history minor because you really couldn't fulfill your Greek minor until your senior year. So I figured for my sophomore and junior years, I'd go ahead and get a history minor. And so I took a course on the Middle Ages in Europe. Okay, and I thought that'd be neat. We'll study you know dragons and ladies in distress and kings and knights and all that. And didn't know anything about the course, and when I got in there, you know, the man told us that every test you take is essay. It's all essay. No true false, no multiple choice, no fill in the blank. It's all essay. All right? And I'm like, okay, whatever. And then he told us, okay, as we came up to our first test, he said, here's your goal. As you read the questions and start writing, you need to get into my mind and figure out what I'm looking for, and then get it on that paper. Okay? All right, now, I think the tests were usually this. There was four questions on the board. He would have the screen down or whatever, and they'd pull the screen up. We didn't have modern technology back then. This is the 70s, okay? He'd have the screen down when we came in. You kind of wanted to, you know, do this or whatever. And he'd put that thing up. There were four questions on the board. You had to write on three of them. And I tell people, when the bell rang at the end of the class, I was still always writing. Still always writing. I mean, front and back, I mean, just take off. And you start writing and you're trying to think, what's he looking for? Well, as you went through the class then, as he was lecturing and talking, you were always writing down things he was saying because I was thinking, if it was important enough to say in class, then it would probably be important enough that this is what he wants on the test. And I mean, you know, and so basically you'd go through. Now, I did disagree with him a couple of times that I thought that what I put down was exactly what he was thinking, but he didn't think it was, okay? And so I'd get a few points taken off. You understand what I'm saying, okay? And so I'd do the best I could in listening to the lectures, in reading the book, again, in, you know, just studying and going through it and just trying to, I mean, I always told people, you know, what would have been nice is, and I did kind of pray this, dear Lord, it would be so nice if I knew what three of the questions were, then I could just take the time right now and write out the whole thing and slip them in a notebook. And then when he says, get out paper, I just have that paper below the blank paper and I act like I'm writing. But then when I'm done, I take these out. That's cheating, I know. But you always, what is he going to ask? What is he going to ask? And then when he asks the question, okay, what's he looking for here? Okay, and if he liked what you wrote because it matched what he was looking for, you got good grades. Now, again, the class wasn't that hard that I would think that he tried to keep from you what he was looking for. His lectures were pointed. That he was a good teacher. He let you know what he was looking for. You just had to memorize it and give it back to him, okay, on these things. Again, I look at this when we're writing in Jesus' name. If you shall ask anything in my name, instead of mindlessly getting on our knees and start praying, dear Lord, here's the situation. What do you want? What do you want? And then your prayers are kind of around that. Again, years ago, people used to wear bracelets or necklaces or things. They used to have WWJD on them. I think you understand. What would Jesus do? Maybe we could just say in our mind, WWJP. If Jesus had the opportunity to pray in this situation, what would Jesus pray? What would his prayer be at this point in time? Again, it means that we're going to pray in Jesus' name. We want to know what he is. So we find the answer to that question, okay, as you figure out how to pray in Jesus' name. What would Jesus want me to pray right here? Okay? And I go to Paul, where Paul prayed three times, Lord, take this thorn away from me. And Jesus said, no, my grace is sufficient. And finally, Paul realized, hey, I think I know what Jesus wants me to pray in this situation. He'll pray that even though I have this thorn in my flesh, that I will find his grace sufficient and go on to minister others the same way that he would want me to do. Again, it's praying in Jesus' name. Let me go ahead and put this up there. And boy, that just excites everybody, does it not? We might get out of here today. Okay? You know what? When you start praying in Jesus' name and you literally start thinking about it, it'll put an end to your gimme prayers. Gimme, 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 gimme. Is this really what Jesus wants? Okay. So before you start asking for things that you want Jesus to give you, it'll make you think. Okay. Again, in praying in Jesus' name, as I said in the beginning, we don't have a problem with the promise. It's a problem with the what? The condition. Okay. Well, now instead of just dropping your knees and mindlessly just praying whatever comes out of your mouth, we now have to stop and do what? Think. Okay. I'll tell you what, I would have got absolutely 100%. In that Middle Ages class, if I could have just put down what I thought was best. And the teacher agreed with me. Okay? But that's not the way it was. I had to try to find out what he wanted me to answer and what the answers were there to that. And again, so I was looking. Again, it'll kind of end our gimme prayers. Gimme, gimme, gimme. To Lord, let's think about this now. And what do you want in this situation? Again, I think it'll deepen our sense of total dependence on Christ. Okay, now Lord, I'm not getting anything on my merits here. Nothing's going to happen because it's just me praying. But I'm coming to you because I have no alternatives to what's going on in life right now. By the way, was it Tom Palmer who says that prayer ought to be our first choice rather than our last choice? And sometimes what we try is everything else, and then when it doesn't work, well, I guess I better pray now. Well, I think it'll help us say, you know, I've got to do things that Jesus wants done. I've got to find out what his will is, and it'll help us to do that. They overlap a little bit. It should cause us to ask, Lord, what do you want to do in this situation? Okay, not my will, but thine be done. That's the model we get from the Garden of Gethsemane. And by the way, who prayed that prayer? Jesus himself. Not my will, but you be done, yours be done. So as we go to prayer, as we start meeting the conditions of these verses in John 14, 13, and 14, we're literally thinking, God, what do you want? Okay? And if what I'm asking is not in your will, then Lord, blow it away like chaff and your will be done here. Again, number four, here's a good one. This will drive us back to the Word of God to figure out what Jesus wants. You ever think about that? Well, somebody said, well, what does Jesus want? Should I stand up here and go, well, I don't know. Well, where can we find out? Get to me. I can tell you where we can find out what Jesus wants. It's where? In the Bible. Get in there every day. Start finding out, what does Jesus want? In all the situations we have in life. Oh, Lord, there's a certain situation that came up here in my life, and I don't know what to do. Well, maybe the best thing to do is, before you pray, let's do some Bible study. Do some Bible research and see if we can figure out from the Word of God what God wants done in this situation. And then we go back to prayer and say, Dear Lord, I read in Your Word that this is what You want. And Lord, I'm going to pray according to that. That's what I'm going to do. Again, it should cause us to pray more for God's glory than our own. You know? Dear Lord, help me in this game to score 50 points so I can get my name in the paper. You know? I don't think so. And by the way, this is free. Not even part of the sermon. I do realize that if there's one area that sometimes Christians fall in, it's sports. And I'm as big an athlete as anybody out there. Am I right about that? But sometimes what happens is, a Christianity is over here, but what we do on the sports field is different. And I'm telling you, it shouldn't be. Our Christianity over here ought to be the same as it is on the sports field. Okay? Dear Lord, I'm going to go play a sport. You know what? Not worried about me, but I want to bring glory to Your name. So You help me on the field to do exactly what needs to be done. I tell people, we went to the tournament in Allentown. And I've said it before, but went to the tournament in Allentown. And our men do a great job. Okay, but as I was there on third base, which means sometimes I'm right by the other team's dugout, I hear what they're saying, and you almost want to say, you guys go to church? Do you ever study the Bible? What you just said, how's that work with this? Because sometimes, hey, the sports field's one thing, and church is different. Well, again, I think we ought to pray that things go to God's glory. It may not be that God's glory is going to be enhanced by us winning the championship. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Okay? That may be hard to believe, that us not winning the championship may not enhance God's, you know, but God has something in it for us. What was it that was said one time about us that went to, when we went down to Allentown, I thought Jason said it. He caught the quote. I heard it, but he caught it. But I thought that what was said by Pastor Barr was, Calvary Bible Church, we enjoy them down here. They're not only a team that knows how to lose, they're also a team that knows how to win. And he was talking about our attitudes. About our attitudes. We know how to lose. We know how to win. And so, again, we should pray for God's glory in our lives, not our own, okay? That He would be glorified in all that we do there. Again, that His glory would come out. Again, I'm just going to say, not for our own gratification. Not for our own gratification. Now, once we pray like that, once we get a hold of what it means to pray in Jesus' name, what we understand of what it means to submitting to His will, and all that I've preached here, now Jesus says what? I'll do it. I'll do it. I end with this illustration, and it's been mentioned already, and I know in our Sunday school class or whatever, but a situation came up this week, and where basically Christian education went to court this week. Some of you know that. Christian education went to court this week. It went into a courtroom where I was told by people who are associated with the courtroom, you got the most liberal judge available in Center County. Did anybody else hear those same words as I did? I see some people saying, you got the most liberal judge that you could get. It's going to be rough. Okay? You know what? People started praying. A lot of praying started going on, that as this went through, a liberal judge in a place where public schools usually win most of the court cases, and it's not looking good, we just need to really pray. And can I tell you what happened? On Friday afternoon, a liberal judge ruled in favor of Christian education. Never happened before, never done before, and from the bench, Christian education was determined to be the best thing for a young person. Isn't that absolutely amazing? And then somebody says, well, what happened? What caused it to happen? I know what caused it to happen. Prayer. A lot of people prayed. And off of a liberal bench came a ruling, this is the best place for this child. Christian education. Don't tell me prayer doesn't work. And God will be glorified in a life because of this. So again, you may look at a situation and say, well, I don't know what's going to happen. Jesus said, I'll do it. I'll do it. That's pretty good, is it not? That beats the phrase, just do it. I'll do it. You pray in my name for my glory, I'll do it. Father, I pray that you would help us to stop falling to our knees in mindless repetitions or without thinking what you want. And Lord, you would help us to start praying again through the Word of God, from the Word of God, so that again you would work in our lives that which enhances your glory. And Lord, works out best for us because we know that you'll do that, of course, because you love us. So Lord, I pray the next time we pray, that we would pray truly in Jesus' name and not just make it an epitaph on the end of a prayer, but the whole prayer would be in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In your name, amen.